Welcome to the November 26, 2006 worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's sermon is presented by Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Where Are the Other Nine? If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How is everybody this morning? Full of turkey and rested all up. It's good to see everybody this morning. My name is Jeff Allen, the Associate Pastor of Students and Families here at College Park, and we welcome you to worship. It's a joy every Sunday as we gather together for this time that we bring our voices and our hearts and our souls together for worship here. We want to make sure that who was here this morning, there are pew pads on every pew. They are on the inside aisles, and we invite everyone to take that and get that started. We ask our members to put your name down, put any changed information for contact information down, check the appropriate boxes and send it down. And then we ask our guests if you would fill out all the information so that we can have the contact information so that we can send you a letter in the mail to welcome you to worship at College Park. And we ask that everybody sign that, send it to the end of the pew. When it reaches the end of the pew, if you could send it back to where it started. We ask our members to sneak a peek. If there's somebody on your pew that you do not know, find out what their name is and introduce yourself a little bit later at the end of the service. So we're glad that you have joined us for worship this morning. Few announcements that I'll have for you as we get started. Today we are having children's time. We're asking all the children to come down and join me at the front. Come on down during the last verse of hymn number 19. We ask all the children to come down for just a short time together. It's a regular schedule this afternoon. All the youth activities from youth choir to snack supper to youth online, as well as all the adult activities. And then concluding at 7 o'clock with our life service. Every Sunday evening at 7 p.m., our youth, our adults and our youth and everybody who wants to come, comes to Smith Hall, our fellowship hall, for our contemporary service. We call it the life service. Cindy Johnson and her cohorts lead that worship service every Sunday night. We hope that you come. It's very relaxed, very informal. Come as you are. Enjoy a time of worship together. That's every Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Reminder, we have a regular Wednesday schedule this week, we are beginning basketball season. Our children and youth basketball teams have practiced for the last several weeks, and the games begin this Saturday. All four of our teams will be in action, so we hope that you pay attention to the newsletter. You will see the schedule for that, and we hope that you can come out and support those teams who have been working hard to get the season ready. Speaking of our children, next Sunday, we are having Children's Sunday. It's the first Sunday of Advent, and we thought a good way to begin that would be Children's Sunday. So our children will be in charge of the worship service that day, and we're going to have a special rehearsal. They've been practicing every Wednesday the last couple weeks. We will have a special rehearsal this Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. That's just before the junior co-ed game, so we won't be missing that, and we won't be missing this. There's a game going on next Saturday at 1 o'clock. I don't know what that could be, but we're not going to be interfering with that. But at 10 o'clock next Saturday morning, we're inviting all our children. We're going to get in here and run the service very, very quickly so that next Sunday morning we will be prepared for our children's Sunday. That's going to be a great time together next Sunday morning. Let's see. Do I have any other announcements? I think that's it. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. If you're a guest, we have a gift we would like to give to you. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. You've already told us your information. You've given us your contact information. We would like to give you a little bit of background about College Park, a little bit about our story. We invite you to just raise your hand as our ushers are coming down the aisles, and they would give you this packet of information. Inside this packet, you will find a little bit of the history of College Park, as well as a newsletter telling you about what's going on in the life of our church. This is a great way to get to know who we are at College Park. The best way, though, is to worship with us as we join our voices and our hearts and our souls together. We get together every Sunday morning for this time of worship, and this is what we are about. We begin each week with an invitation to share in worship. You will find this responsive reading in your bulletin. This morning's comes from Psalm 100. It's a responsive reading, and I invite you to stand now. Ask that you read the dark print aloud as I read the light print. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture.
Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
You may be seated. Pray with me. Father, as we have come into your house this morning, we think about the last several days that we have spent seeing family and spending time with loved ones. During this time of Thanksgiving, for some, it's been a much-needed time of rest and of laughter and of encouragement. Some of us have been traveling from one family to another, all the while being reminded of the goodness of your grace. So, Father, on this morning, we recognize that it is you and you alone who gives us all that we have. And so we bring into this place our offering of thanks. You have blessed us with so many things. From people in our lives who care about us to material possessions that sustain us and give us life. So, Father, for all these things, we thank you. But our thanks pales into comparison to what your Son did on the cross for us. If you had done nothing else for us, Jesus' death on the cross is enough to be thankful for the rest of eternity. For in Him we are given forgiveness and mercy and grace and salvation, a second chance. And for that we are thankful. Hear our prayers of thanks. Hear our songs of praise. And know that everything that is done in this place is done to give you thanks. This is our prayer. In Christ's name, amen.
Come celebrate our God and King.
And I want to see if I'm thankful for all the pictures that are in here, and I want to see if you can help me figure out why. Okay, who wants to just randomly just pick one of those out? All right, open that up. Oh, who is that? That's a picture of Sam's family. That's a good picture. That's when they joined the church. When you think of family, what do you are you thankful for your family?
Yeah.
What about your family are you thankful for? Did they feed you this week? Yeah, okay. Are you thankful for that? All right. What else are you thankful for with your family? What is your mom or your dad? Well, maybe not your brother or sister, but what about your mom or your dad? What do they do for you? Help you out, take care of you. Okay. Thankful for family. Let's see who wants to do one. All right. Matthew there. Just get in there and get one. Oh, open that up. Oh, look at there. Who is that? Lizzie. Yeah. Okay. She didn't know I was going to do this. Well, now, when you think about Lizzie, are you thankful for her and for what she did? She does so much for us during the summer. Think about children's camp. Lizzie, okay, that's a good thing to be thankful for. All right, let's do it here. All right, Cameron, why don't you grab one? Okay, what's that? Oh, that's a good-looking guy right there. Who is that? Oh, it's Pastor Raymond. Yeah, oh, yeah. All right. What are you thankful for about your pastor? His sermons are short? Yeah?
Only 12 minutes.
Do what? 12 minutes. That's what your daughter said. 12 minutes. Okay. What else does Pastor Raymond do for us? He teaches us about God. He teaches us about God's Word. That's a good thing. He plays a mean electric guitar. And he can change strings like nobody's business, like he did last night. Let's see. We got some more pictures in here. Grab one. All right. What is that? Oh, I had to put this one in there. I had to, as much as it hurt me. All right. How about this one? You got the Wake Forest. All right. We had to put that in there.
We don't need it.
We don't need it. I agree with you. Matthew's my new best friend. All right. He is a Duke fan. Never mind. You're not my best friend. All right. Wake Forest. What do you think about when you see Wake Forest? Sports, basketball, football, field hockey. You think about field hockey? What do you think about sports? Are you thankful for sports? Do you like playing sports? Yeah, I'm thankful for sports too. And search committees for new coaches. All right. Let's see. Did that get on the internet? I don't know. Here we go. All right. Pick out. Go ahead, Ashton. Pick one out. What's that? Okay. Church. All right, we got the picture of the church. That's a good looking building. Let's see, we got some more in here. Ooh, got the cross. The cross. What are you thankful for about the cross?
Jesus died on it.
Yep, Jesus died on it. That's right. You are picking all the spiritual ones out first. Here we go. Let's go for a couple more. It's Elmo. Oh, it's Elmo. What? Elmo, he's a toy, right? Do you like playing with things? Yeah? Could be things. Does anybody have a Tickle Me Elmo? How many want the new 10th anniversary Tickle Me Elmo? Yeah, that's a big deal. You got toys that you play with? You like playing with toys. All right. Last one. Oh, yeah. It's the slide from the Fall Festival. Yeah. Do you like playing games like this?
Yeah.
You like? Now, how can I tell, how can you show people that you are thankful? All these things that we showed. Tiffany?
You can show people that really don't think that they're really thankful.
Okay. How else? How can you show your mom, your dad, your Pastor Raymond, that you're thankful for things? You could tell them. That's right.
You can tell them. You can say thank you to them. You can tell everybody what they did for you. And that's the story that Pastor Raymond is going to talk about today. Is we've been thankful. We've been given so much. We've been given the toys. We've been given the games. We've been able to, opportunity to play sports. And we've been given Jesus. And what do? We tell them we're thankful. We tell God we're thankful. We tell Pastor Raymond we're thankful. We tell our parents, thank you for all we do. That's how we show that we're thankful for what they do. All right? Will you pray with me? Let's pray together. God, we love you and we thank you for all the things that you have given to us. From sports, to our family, to our friends, to all the things that you have blessed us with. But most importantly, you have blessed us with the cross and Jesus. And we are so thankful for what he did for us and for how you have given us a new life, a second chance. And that's a very important thing for us to be thankful for. Help us to show you how thankful we are by singing the songs with everything we've got, by reading our Bible, by studying and learning more, and by listening to everything that's going on. God, we love you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go back to your seat.
Thank you, children. Let us experience together the ministry of God's Word through the reading of Scripture. I'll begin first in the Old Testament, in the second book of Samuel, in the 23rd chapter, as you see printed in your order of worship. I invite you to read along either in your own Bible or in a pew Bible that may be located close to you. From 2 Samuel. These are the last words of David. The oracle of David, son of Jesse, the oracle of the man exalted by the Most High, the man anointed by the God of Jacob, Israel's singer of songs. The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. The God of Israel spoke. The Rock of Israel said to me, when one rules over men in righteousness, when he rules in the fear of God, he is like the light of morning at sunrise on a cloudless morning, like the brightness after rain that brings the grass from the earth. Is not my house right with God? Has he not made with me an everlasting covenant, arranged and secured in every part? Will he not bring to fruition my salvation and grant me my every desire? But evil men are all to be cast aside like thorns, which are not gathered with the hand. Whoever touches thorns uses a tool of iron or the shaft of a spear. They are burned up where they lie. From the New Testament, the Gospel of John, in the 18th chapter, verses 33 through 37. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Is that your own idea, Jesus asked, or did others talk to you about me? Am I a Jew? Pilate replied. It was your own people and your chief priest who handed you over to me. What is it you have done? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And also from the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, in the first chapter, starting in the second part of verse 4. Grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. May God bless the reading and understanding of His holy word. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, just as the children have discussed and prayed to you in the minutes before, we are thankful and we are grateful. We're grateful this morning for the past few days and the opportunity that you've blessed us with to experience time with loved ones and to experience time reflecting on the last week, on the last month, on the last year, in our entire lives and all the things that you have blessed us with for which we are thankful. Lord, we are grateful for that time. The time to be able to look back. Lord, as we look ahead to the new week, as we look ahead to Advent, as we look ahead to Christmas, the Nativity, the manger, Lord, allow us to think about birth and as it relates to our lives, rebirth. Lord, help us to turn to you to be remade, to be reborn, renewed and renovated for you. Lord, no matter what we are going through right now, no matter what we're experiencing, or those that we love are experiencing that we're trying to help them through, Lord, help us to believe with all our hearts, as you have shared with us through Scripture, that we can be reborn in you, and that we can be renewed in your Spirit. Lord, for those of us who seem just mentally and emotionally drained and are really struggling and have things going on in our hearts and minds that just seem to bring us down every day, Lord, help us to trust you. Lord, please help renew us and give us a new spirit of energy and of faith in you and trust that you can bring us out of it. Lord, for those of us who are struggling physically and dealing with infirmities, to which sometimes they just leave us with nothing left. Lord, help our bodies to be renewed and healed. And most importantly, help our minds to be renewed and refreshed so that we may have new energy to fight, to pray, and to continue on as you take care of us. Lord, for those of us who are in difficult relationships with family, with friends, with coworkers that have not gone well, and maybe we've not been the best witnesses that we could be, or maybe we seem to be doing everything right, but it's not working out. Lord, renew our minds and renew our hearts so that we may today be ready to start anew and to put the kind of energy and effort into that relationship to heal it. But leave it up to you to put our faith in you that you will do it in using us instead of we ourselves. Lord, for those of us who have experienced a loss recently, for those who are dealing with the pain of not having a loved one during the holidays, Lord, refresh our minds and help our memories to be so strong as we remember those that we love, to feel their presence, to not let go of the things about them that we love so much and that we remember the way that you blessed us with them. Lord, renew our minds and our trust in you that life does extend beyond the grave and that our trust and our faith is in the best possible place, that we know that we can be with our loved one again in heaven, but most importantly for us, that by believing in you, we can be there with you to experience all that you have for us. Lord, let us look ahead. Let us focus on what you have for us. Let us be reborn, renewed, refreshed, and renovated in your name. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, on this Sunday following our traditional Thanksgiving, let us remember that every day should be a day of thanksgiving to you. We thank you for the many blessings we have received. We thank you for our families. We thank you for our church family. We thank you for our church staff and for the exceptional job that they do. But most of all, we thank you for your Son who died on the cross to save us from our sins. Now, please accept these tithes and offerings which we bring. Let them be used to further glorify your name and to spread your message of love. It is in your holy name we pray. Amen.
Sings my soul. I think anybody could preach after that. Amen? Okay, very good. We are going to read this morning from Luke chapter 17, a passage that, again, that we have heard many times. You've probably had one or two Sunday school lessons along the way on this passage. We're going to read it and try to take a fresh look at it today. Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet, and he thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Wow. I could preach a sermon actually on the peculiar dynamics just at work in this passage. First of all, there's this Samaritan. You remember all the dynamics between the Jews and the Samaritans? Isn't that interesting? It's interesting that he would actually go and show himself to the Jewish priest. Isn't that interesting? Also, Luke points out that this Samaritan, the foreigner, as he says, the foreigner was the only one out of the crew that came back to give thanks. Isn't that interesting? Thankfulness. Thanksgiving. Recently, I heard a young Native American woman observe that the most profound spiritual act is to teach people to be thankful, truly thankful. And in the realm of spirituality and faith, there is no attitude that exceeds in importance that of gratitude. And there's no act that transcends the significance of giving thanks. So how does that happen? Is it just in meeting together and eating turkey that Thanksgiving takes place? How does true gratitude develop? How does living gratefully become a part of who we are, our basic character? How does that happen? Now, if you address these questions, if you do that honestly, it requires a recognition that actually serves as a word of warning. We've all seen them. And they're out there, these self-help books, how you can help yourself be a better person. And I can tell you that probably most of these books will be absolutely no help to you in this endeavor of developing gratitude. I think the same is true of this personal determination. Gratitude is not the product of a person kind of psyching themselves up to say thank you more often. As good as that is, that's not what we're talking about. This whole thing of gratitude is not wrapped around etiquette. It's not wrapped around consideration or politeness. It's not wrapped around teaching children to say please and thank you more often. Although, you know, don't get me wrong, children. Don't get me wrong. Saying please and thank you is a good thing. I can hear it now. A parent calls me this week and said, my kid just said he didn't have to say thank you because Pastor Raymond said that. That's not what I'm saying. That's good conditioning. But that is not the full extent of gratitude. That's not it. That's not the limit. The mentality of gratitude and the articulation of thankfulness spring from an orientation, a fundamental orientation to life, a basic way of how we look at life and view ourselves in relationship to life. And on the basis of the narrative that we've read this morning, we could conclude that only about 10% get it. Now, you know, for the math majors, you're saying, well, that's not a good sample. And, you know, I understand all that. But you get the point. A small percentage of people really understand what it means to be truly grateful, to be truly thankful. It all starts, I believe, with the understanding of the primacy of grace. That in itself is a serious challenge for 21st century Americans, because we live in a culture where entitlements and merits and rights and earnings, those are the things. That is the pervasive popular attitude, if you will. The more stuff I can get, the better. I have a right to accumulate. And that is my right as an American and a human being. And individuals that hold to that as their primary point of identification can hardly tolerate grace. Because grace is not just the opposite of rights and entitlements and merits. Grace doesn't even exist in the same realm as these phenomena. Grace responds where it's needed. Grace responds to what is best. It responds to what is helpful, as it motivates people at the good part of their being, the contributions of who they are to other people. That's what grace is. From beginning to end, the Bible depicts the primacy of grace that is illustrated very dramatically in this story that we've read. The healing of 10 lepers. The lepers ask nothing more of Jesus than that he would extend to them mercy. See, the NIV says pity. They called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Actually, the better translation is in the King James and the New American Standard and the New Revised Standard, who say, "Lord, have mercy on us." That's what they asked for. They wanted mercy. But Lord, treat us as people instead of diseased bodies to be avoided. Have mercy. But Jesus gave them so much more. He gave them so much more. He gave them what they needed instead of what they asked for. Jesus took away their disease and he made their bodies whole again. And the whole existence and the whole experience was one of grace. Grace is primary in the Bible, but grace is very specific in the ministry of Jesus. We see it time after time after again. And we've talked about it during our readings and during the sermons in previous weeks. Grace, how Jesus extended grace. And once we understand that reality, the primacy of grace, the prevailing primacy of grace, we began to understand and have an awareness of the fact that life is a gift. It's a gift that's given to us. And the only way that we will ever know the most important aspects of life, as well as the meaning of life itself, is to see ourselves and see ourselves as recipients of gifts. You see, life is not about ownership. Life is not about entitlements. Life is about gifts. Because life reaches its zenith in our awareness that we're recipients from God. We cannot merit faith. We cannot buy love. We can't earn joy. We cannot even achieve happiness. We experience all that makes life truly worth living, not as a result of personal accumulations, financial purchases, honorary rewards. None of those can do it. Gifts from God. When we understand that, when we truly understand that life is a gift, we will experience this radical transformation in our life that will shape all that we are and all that we do. When we recognize that we have no more claim on living than we have, quote, inalienable right to comfort, affluence, property, and happiness and all that stuff. When we really understand what it means to be recipients of grace, we will give thanks for the life that is ours. Over and over and over again. Every day as a gift. And not wait until tragedy hits our family or extended family or church family or country before we understand that. That life is a precious gift every day. And when we get there, we will understand now we have reached the birthplace of gratitude. To understand the primacy of grace and the nature of life as a gift is to experience and to express gratitude. It's very appropriate. We celebrated Thanksgiving on Thursday. As Jim said in his prayer, we should celebrate Thanksgiving every single day. We're coming out of a season of Thanksgiving. And it's appropriate that next Sunday morning, we'll meet together on the first Sunday of Advent, expecting the coming of our Lord and our Savior. That's very appropriate. As we talk about the gift of life, Romans 6:23, you know it. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The gift. The gift is life, physically and spiritually, from God to us. And we will never find gratitude among persons who are so absorbed in themselves that they don't understand their relationship with God. You will never find gratitude in people who think that life owes them or that others should be impressed by them. So don't expect gratitude in the lives of people who give things but withhold themselves. Gratitude arises out of an awareness that grace touches us and the gifts that God gives enrich us. And at its essence, gratitude is a response to a gift for which we should give thanks. Now, this realization could take time. Granted, it will take time. Young people, understand this. Adolescence is a time where it's very easy to become self-absorbed, to become selfish. You're trying to discover who you are and how you relate, to make that change from childhood into adulthood. And what does that mean? Who am I? What am I going to be? And how am I going to express gratitude? Now, the world will tell you to get all you can out of this deal. Okay, that's how you're conditioned somewhat in the environment that you live in, the school you're in, you're competing for scholarships, you're doing all this stuff. Get all you can get. Okay, that's what the world will tell you. God would teach you to find new ways to experience life, to give to other people, to take a chance, to look at that person in school that other people make fun of and extend grace and mercy to them. To give of yourself, to be considerate to all people, to find ways to do that every single day, to choose to do that out of gratitude for the gift of life. 2-year-olds are selfish. We've all seen that. Mine, 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 mine. 2-year-olds are selfish. We choose to be selfish out of a heart of ungratefulness. I understand this whole recognition of our culture and what it's teaching us. This whole idea of the primacy of grace and the gift of life runs contrary to our culture. I understand that. And maybe the maturing of these realizations, maybe the maturing of this thing explains in part the time lapse between, you know, these 10 lepers were healed. And then there was a time lapse. We don't know how long, but a period later, a short period of time, one came back. What happened that inspired within him the need to come back and to express thanksgiving to God through our Lord Jesus Christ? What happened? We don't know. But we do know that one came back. We do know, where are the other 9? The other 9 never got it. They never allowed the recognition of life as grace and gifts to develop within them. Thus, they never even sensed, let alone acted upon, the moral urgency of offering thanksgiving and praise to the one who extended mercy to them, to the one who extended healing to them. See, more is involved here than just having a good attitude, having a positive outlook on life, much more is involved. The gratitude that we feel is evoked by a recognition of primacy of grace and a realization of life as a gift. They move us to practice grace and gracefulness to other people, to offer gifts gracefully to other people. Thanksgiving inspires and it empowers a lifestyle of gracefulness and gratitude. I think we heard a little bit of that last night. These young people and these young adults that lie in this platform and sang the words, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You set us free. Glory to God. Glory to God indeed." But I think I have to warn you that only in frightening vulnerability and with the risk of being changed forever will anyone fully know the depth of life's gifts and the expanse of grace-oriented gratitude. And we have to know one other thing also. Only in such vulnerability, laced with risk, does anyone ever really know love. And that's the ultimate gift. That is the essence of grace. It causes its recipient, either in an exultant shout or a primal scream, or in the quiet whisper of an intimate word, to exclaim, "Thanks be to God." And to resolve to live every single day and in every way lovingly, thankfully, and gracefully. Amen? Let's pray together. Dear Father, we have heard the story of your Son and how he took men who were on a border between Samaria and border between Galilee. And Father, we understand there may be people here this morning who are on that border, a border between an area where Jesus is not recognized and an area where Jesus is fully recognized. That friction between the life we live at church and the life we live in the world. How do we resolve that? Father, we look to you for the answer, because we know that we are to be salt and light. Father, we understand that we are to be your people on mission. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. But how does all that work for us as we try to live lives full of grace and mercy and thanksgiving? Father, we leave that completely in your hands, because we don't know all the answers yet. But we know that you're going to show us as we start from this moment forward, seeking to accept life as a gift and to live in the primacy of grace. Father, we know that you're going to show us. And that's what we ask now. That you would make life real to us, from our children all the way through our senior adults. Show us how in our existence you would have us to live. That's our prayer this morning. How to live those kind of lives of grace and thanksgiving and gratitude. How to extend to the outcast, the lepers in our culture, grace and mercy. Father, we pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning you may be on that border of trying to figure it out. I want to challenge you to speak honestly and openly to our God and allow him to show you. That may involve you realizing that you're not a believer. It may involve you coming forward and saying, "Raymond, I'm not a believer. I've never accepted Jesus Christ, and I'll be glad to share with you how you can settle that matter this morning." It may be that you say, "Raymond, I don't know exactly what all this means, but I felt God kind of tugging on my heart this morning, and I want your prayers." There are going to be people that will be coming forward to pray specifically for you, to pray that the Holy Spirit will be here to move and to convict. We want to give you the opportunity to respond to how God has spoken to you, however that may be. You may want to be a part of this church. Maybe you're a member in another fellowship, and you've been feeling God's call leading you here. We want to give you an opportunity to respond to that. We receive members in many ways. Whatever you feel like God is leading you to do, we want you to do that. In our time as we stand and sing a hymn, would you stand with me and sing together? Ask you if you would please remain standing. I want to introduce to you Ruth Williams. Many of you already know Ruth. She's been a part of this fellowship for a number of weeks, probably months now, hasn't it? Sure has. And she comes this morning and she is requesting to be a part of this church body by transfer of letter from Forest Hills Baptist Church in Raleigh. Many of you know that church, a good church, and we're glad that you're with us now. She lives out at Brookridge, and I know many of you know her already. And if you will rejoice in her decision and promise to love and encourage and support her, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen.
I know that you'll want to come by at the conclusion of the service and speak a word of encouragement to her. Now I want to ask you, if you would please join me in prayer as we hear a benediction from God's Word. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.